Gossip, the F1 Podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to Brit Gossip. It is 2022. My name is Dell, along with Julie. We're back. First episode of the new year. Had a little bit of a breather, but I'm ready to go. Julie, how are you doing? How was your break?
It was very relaxing for the most part. I've been off of work for the last 2 weeks. Today is my first day back, so it's been a struggle since like December 14th. I don't even know what my job is or what I do all day because I'm having to remind myself.
I'm not editing that out, so
that's gonna be okay. Out there. No worries. But yeah, break was good. I think I watched a total of 7 seasons of TV shows because I watched all 4 seasons of Selling Sunset. I watched season 2 of Emily in Paris. I watched the new season of Queer Eye, which is in Austin. And then I watched some British crime drama that's on Peacock about a submarine murder in Scotland, which I think was called Alive. I can't remember. So I basically watched TV outside of spending my time with you in the Northeast.
Yeah, I can definitely tell you're my wife's sister because she did the same thing. She's been cranking through like, what's that Sunset show called?
Oh, she probably started that because I did.
Oh, 100%, 100%. But yeah, she's been binging, but she got back to work today too. But break was good. We went to the Bahamas, so that was awesome to get away for the first time in probably like 2 years, 2 and change probably. So we went to Baja Mar and that was really nice. They did a good job with that resort. We were there for a week. Came back, met up with you at your parents, did that whole thing. And that was it. The last few days for the new year, I was just kind of getting myself ready for like fresh mindset kind of stuff, not to be cliche, but.
What's your one word for the year?
My one word for the year?
Mm-hmm.
Consistency.
Hmm.
Yeah, I just feel like get back to that grind, you know, personal growth. So I'm excited about that. But I would say that's mm-hmm. the one word. What about you? What's yours?
Intentional.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I feel like I'm always doing 17 things at once. So I'm trying to be like more in the moment and doing just one thing at a time and being like intentional about what I am actually spending my time on.
That's a good one.
And only doing things that like bring me joy, pushing out the bullshit.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like that. I think the best thing about the break, besides just like chilling out and kind of, you know, getting my mind right, was I was able to digest last season. It took me a little bit longer than I thought. I think on the last podcast, I was like, yeah, I need a couple of days. I need a weekend, whatever. I mean, I happened to come across a clip of the last lap at Abu Dhabi like 3 days ago, and it started stirring up all sorts of like anxiety, and I just shut it down. I was like,
oh, geez.
Yeah, and I was like, I need a couple more days. So I'm feeling really good. We've got, about three months until the season starts, probably 2 until we get Drive to Survive. So, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to get back in the swing of things.
I did not have the same issue as you with still trying to process. I've moved on, and I think part of that is because we've gotten so much content of these drivers and their girlfriends that it's really just, you know, brought me joy. I felt like they never left.
Yeah, the wags.
Although Lewis still has not posted on Instagram since December 11th.
Day of the race.
Or like mid-December. Mm-hmm. So where is he? What's he doing? Is he coming back? I heard he unfollowed Formula One on Instagram.
Yeah, no, he's definitely coming back. I mean, there's no way he leaves the sport and quits on that. That would just be a bad look. But I had read an article the other day that the FIA president was trying to reach him and he wasn't responding and they're thinking about like penalizing him.
He's following no one on Instagram.
I would probably do the same thing. Like I just need to get away. So good for him, but he'll be back. He'll be back. And once he posts something, we'll be talking about it, I'm sure. Yeah, no, it was, it's been a good break. A lot of WAGs content out there. So I'm sure Off Grid will be good.
Mm-hmm.
we on our Instagram page, I think where we're going to start today is just with some fan questions. We had mentioned this probably like 3-4 weeks ago, and then we didn't get to it just with the holidays and stuff, but we wanted to come back to it. So we put on our Instagram feed, I think yesterday or Sunday, as well as a couple weeks ago. If you had questions for us, send them over, keep them clean, and we would answer them. And so we got several questions, quite a few double ups, so we wanted to go through those. So I will fire off the questions to you, and you answer first, and then I will also answer. All right. First question from Karutherski, and if I'm butchering these handles, I apologize. What do you think happens if the driver sneezes during a race?
I mean, my first concern is that it probably gets like really wet inside their helmet because like the snot. But otherwise, I feel like they have such quick reactions. It probably happens with like all the dust and stuff. They just kind of probably keep driving.
Yeah, I was thinking about it too. It's a funny question because I had never thought about that until it got sent in. Initially, I was thinking a few things. First and foremost, that helmet, like really, you see when they put it on, like really squeezes their face in, obviously, to protect them. So I wonder if just that compression allows you to sneeze in general. And then two, the visor part, and I was looking at the helmets just yesterday because I was like, the visors don't come down as far as you would think. Like it seems like it really stays like kind of above the nose area. I could be wrong. So even if it's a wet sneeze, it probably doesn't get on the visor. But to your point, these guys are driving it a gajillion miles per hour. We've seen funnier things happen, like, you know, water systems go loose, pouring on someone's leg, cramps, you know, Max had a cramp on the last lap. They just make it happen. So probably not much. They just keep driving, but it is funny to think about. Next question from one of our favorites, actually, speaking of Wags, Loving Wags. What was your favorite race of this year?
I think I felt differently at the time. But I really loved the Austin race. I mean, there were a lot of things that happened there. Wasn't that the race that Sergio didn't have water?
Yeah, we found that out afterwards. Yep.
Yeah, so that, in addition to just like being there live with like Max and Lewis kind of battling back and forth, like one was in the front, then the other was. I would say that was my favorite race.
We also spent probably about $300 in waters during that race because it was so hot. I would say my favorite race was probably the in Italy. That was when Max put it on Lewis's head, and then you had McLaren go 1-2. I just thought so many cool things happened, right? You had Max Lewis battling it out most of the race. They DNF'd. Obviously, seeing Daniel win a race was exciting, but Norris right behind him. So who got third in that race? Do you remember? Oh, it was Bottas. It was Valtteri. Yeah, he was just staying to the side. So that was probably my favorite race. Just had a lot of action that wasn't just purely dominated by Red Bulls and Mercedes. All right, next question from LXT05. Hardest thing about starting an F1 podcast? This is a good one.
So I would say like building a following because there's so many different like media channels. We have the podcast, but then we have to promote it on Instagram and Facebook and, you know, interact on Instagram and think through posts and all that. So in order to get the following, you kind of have to like attack all your media channels. You can't just do the podcast.
Yeah, that's a really good answer. And I would agree with that. It's tough, you know, especially it's just the two of us. So, you know, if anyone wants to be our brand manager, hit us up. That's serious. But there's just so many, you know, outlets, and you have to be consistent on all of them all the time. Otherwise, you lose it pretty quickly. So I would say that's a great answer. In addition to that, the first 2-3 episodes were pretty tough. It's funny, I actually listened to our first episode a couple days ago, and just the first 5 minutes, I mean, we're just talking about openly how nervous we were, and you can see us, you can hear us gradually start to get into the zone and get comfortable with, you know, within a, you know, 4, 5, 6 minutes mark. But I remember the first 3-4 minutes of each episode and the first probably handful of episodes, it was nerve wracking. So that may not be the hardest, but it's definitely probably one of the hardest things to overcome in the beginning for sure. All right. We had three other questions, and we had multiple people ask 2022. So this is like a complete your sentence. In 2022, George Russell will blank question mark.
Hopefully get media training.
That's a really good answer. That's a really good answer. He's been better, though. Thank you. His postings have been a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, who knows what's going to come out of his mouth. I would say in 2022, George Russell will help Lewis win his 8th or 9th, depending on how you look at it, Drivers' Championship. I think Russell's going to win some races, too. I actually do think he'll win a few. But I think when looking back at the season, the main difference for me, outside of Max, was just amazing all year. He had an amazing, amazing wingman in Sergio. I mean, Sergio, outside of a few races, which happens over the course of a season that long, was awesome. He was there when he really needed him, you know, Abu Dhabi being a great example. Bottas, really, I mean, where was he the last race? He just wasn't in it a lot of the races, and I think Russell will provide a little bit more protection, which will give Lewis a better chance to snag the championship.
So I disagree with that, actually. And I think, and the reason I disagree with it is he's too green to be a strong B racer. Both Sergio and Bottas have tons of experience with defending, with like being that role. And I think George is going to want to win for himself and doesn't have the experience to be the strong like wingman that Lewis needs.
So I agree with you and disagree really for the same reasons. I'll explain why. It doesn't really make a lot of sense, but let me throw it back at you. Do you think he's a faster, in the same car, of course, a faster driver than Bottas?
Maybe because he's skinnier.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but my gut says he's faster. I mean, we saw him and Bottas team up last year, right? And he was dominating that race in the same machinery. So I think
it's not about being simply faster. It's about being able to like defend and pull strategic moves on the track. And I think that Bottas and Sergio like have so much experience in the cars, regardless of the car itself, to be able to pull those moves. And I don't think George has enough experience being in the front of the pack to be able to do that and to be able to defend against drivers that are in maybe not, I mean, Mercedes may be the best car, may not be, but he's going to have to defend against people that have been in their cars on their teams like Ferrari, McLaren, Red Bull. They're comfortable in their team dynamic and their car itself, and he's going to be the new kid on the block. I just don't think
it is the big unknown, right? How does he handle the pressure? He's expected to be front of the pack every week. So I do agree with you there. However, a couple of things to your point. One, the cars are different next year, so everyone's going to be getting up to speed. Two, the Ferrari point. I mean, we've joked about that. Like, what are their roles? I think they're both trying to play alphas. That never works. But the point I was going to make earlier was, I think he's faster than Bottas, which means he should be competing towards the front, which should help him, should help Lewis theoretically if he's not going for the win against Max and Sergio. However, it also pushes Lewis. I think Lewis deep down, and again, I don't know this, but I think Lewis knows that Russell is a quote unquote better driver, which is going to push him even further. So when I say he's going to help Lewis win a championship, I agree. I actually think if he has a chance to win races, he's going to go for it, which is going to cause some interesting dynamics. But he's a better driver, which hopefully should push Lewis. He almost won it last year, right? So just enough to beat Max or whoever else is competing. That's what I meant by that. But I think you make super valid points. It's going to be really interesting, but I'm really excited about Russell next year and that whole dynamic. All right, we'll keep it moving. Two more. Several asked, this is a good one too, who is not in an F1 seat in 2023?
Kimmy.
Well, Kimmy.
No. Sorry. I was seeing, what's his face? Yuki. See, they have both like similar two syllable names.
Yep.
I think he's just is going to continue to have behavioral issues. Him, yeah. Or Mazespin. They both have behavioral issues that I don't think like are worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would agree with you there. I would say, I think Yuki's actually a good one. I hadn't thought about that, but Yuki, I would agree, especially for someone that was, you know, is driving okay, right? Better than Mazepin. I think Mazepin should be out. I wonder if Daddy Warbucks is able to keep him in, which I could see that happening. I think Latifi is out after this year, and that's not a knock because he crashed Abu Dhabi. Had he not crashed, I would have answered the same way. I think Latifi's out, and then I had one other one. Who do I have? Oh, I think Seb's going to retire. Which is such a bummer. I'm starting to love Seb more and more every like month, but I think Seb's going to call it. But maybe not. Hopefully not. If they're competitive, I could see him stick around. But if they do what they did last year, I could see him going off to the sunset.
Okay.
All right. Last question. Top race you would want to attend with paddock passes besides Monaco, assuming that's your top answer, which I think for me it would be.
I would say Monza.
Monza. So, and I should have asked you before, but is that purely based on the race and the track itself, or are you taking in consideration the city in which you're traveling to and the whole experience?
I'm simply taking into account the drama that consistently is that race.
Yeah. No, I agree. That would be an awesome track. I was thinking from a track standpoint, like Spa could be really cool because, you know, that was a race we didn't really get to see last year and it's ridiculously fast. Pure racetrack like the Abu Dhabi, the Saudi Arabia one seemed just borderline dangerous. So that might be interesting, but all inclusive, like where you're traveling to, the experience, the track, you know, yada yada. I haven't been to Australia. I think that would be an awesome one.
Yep, that would be as well.
Yeah,
but you only have to pick one.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go Australia.
Your answer.
I'm gonna go Australia. Yeah.
All right.
So there you go. So we definitely really appreciate you guys asking the questions. We'll do this again. We had some feedback that, you know, actually when we were supposed to do it 2 weeks ago, what were the questions? We thought you were gonna do Q&A. So we'll do that again. Thank you for the questions. Keep them coming in. We'll throw those into another episode or do them regularly if we get enough. So what's going on with off-grid gossip? A lot of action, like you mentioned.
I mean, the internet broke today when Lando posted, not only confirmed his relationship with, I'm going to say her name's like Louisa. Let's just call her Louisa. Sorry. He not only confirmed it, but he posted a grid photo. Like, that's on his grid. And like, not only that, they're kissing. They're making out in this picture. That was a big moment. And Carlos commented, it's official.
Yeah, the internet did break. All the WAGs, followings, really any meme F1 handle, they all dropped it. And everyone said pretty much the same thing, which is finally, because people have been talking about it.
I mean, so they're in Dubai and have been there for like the last week. They're with a group of friends, but they certainly confirmed it today.
Yeah, see, it's like Lando being intentional.
Yeah, so she is a 22-year-old fashion model from Portugal. Her sister is like a Portuguese actress. She has like 73,000 followers on Instagram as of this morning. Let's see where she's at now. 89,000, pretty much. So
it's a quick 15,000.
Yeah, so she's just, I mean, she looks cute. She's like a model. So, you know, that's that. That was crazy. Carlos' comment was crazy. So
we had mentioned her in our WAGs episode back in whenever it was July during the break. So that definitely has picked up some wheels. Good for Lando. He needs that. I will say, we've talked about this with Max and Kelly in the past, although I feel like their engagement on Instagram is improving. I thought the kiss was a little awkward. That's just me, but I get it. I totally get
He's awkward, though. It very much like fit his personality.
Yep. Totally works.
If you look at her tagged photos, it's actually really funny. I'm like scrolling through it right now. It's literally like the picture of them, like just people reposting it over and over and over and over and over again, like 100 posts before you get to like anything else. Max and Kelly were in Miami for New Year's Eve. So there was lots of content on her Instagram from that. A lot of like
pop. Were they in Miami? I thought they were in Brazil. Miami. Oh, okay.
Get it right. And they spent time with like his sister who had a baby as well. Saw that on Instagram. And Charles is really producing the content with Charlotte in Mexico. He's been like Insta story, lots. But I'm here for it. I like them.
Did you see that one where he's at the table with all his friends and they've all got the sparklers and everyone's like waving it and smiling and laughing? And then it's obviously just like a random, you know, snap, but he's got the sparkler and he looks just so uninterested. I thought that was hilarious. Someone posted on the meme account, but it was like mood.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So that's my roundup. Lots of like relationship stuff, which is fun to see. Nice to see them like relaxing and just like being real humans.
F1 drivers are humans too. Speaking of wags and couples, mm-hmm. F1 wags posted all the most current relationships, so driver and significant other. So check that out. I think we'll probably repost it as well for her. Not that she needs our repost. She has a huge following. But if you're curious, I think there's 16 of the 20 drivers are in confirmed relationships, whether it's wife or girlfriend. So check it out. Get in the know if you're not. All right. So transitioning to the top 10, oh my God, moments as judged by your GGF1 crew. That's us. We had some difference of opinions. Although I felt like for the most part we were aligned, so we'll start with number 10.
So I have actually, I have one thing to say about our difference of opinions. I think that like I was going more for like what was emotionally, like what I felt like emotionally driven towards, and I think you went more like tactical about the moments and the races.
I mean, that covers a broad spectrum of meaning. But yes, I would agree. For me, I was thinking about it as like in the moment. I try to bring myself back to like in the moment watching the race, like how far out of my chest did my heart fall, or how like, you know, loud did I yell? Like, so
I thought of like what made my heart warm.
Okay.
So.
Well, I think our top five were pretty similar. So let's go through. We're starting at top number 10. All right. Number 10, top OMG. Or emotional or heartwarming moment of the 2021 season. I don't think this is heartwarming at all, but our number 10 was the longest pit stop in the history of F1. This was in Monaco. Valtteri pits, I think he was in second at that point of the race, and they couldn't get the wheel nut off. And officially, they got it off back at the factory 45 hours and 15 minutes later, making it the longest pit stop. But the reason it was number 10 for me and kind of on the list was every single important pit stop, whether it was Mercedes, Red Bull, McLaren, you know, Alpine, whatever, for a split second, I always thought, what if they can't get the wheel nut off? Which I never thought before that pit stop. So for me, that's in my DNA now. I'll probably always think that on any critical pit stop, like what if they can't get the wheel nut off? And if it wasn't for that pit stop, I would never think that. So for me, it was number 10.
I didn't remember that moment until you put it on the list.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
Yeah, no, it was one of those. So moving on to number 9, Hungarian GP. We all remember this one, Alonso's defense of Lewis to secure Ocon's maiden win in F1. We saw this a few times, mostly with Sergio Perez, but you know, I can't remember, at least in my 3 or 4 years following F1, a season where Lewis really got put to the test getting by people and people doing a really good job of keeping him behind. Usually you just saw Mercedes just fly by cars. This, I think, was the first time. Maybe Perez did it earlier in the year, but this one was huge because, you know, again, Ocon got his first win, which was exciting. And it was nice because, you know, Alonso's not some young buck. You know, he's been around. Those guys have been teammates. There's been friction between them. So I thought that was awesome. And it was just really good racing, which I've talked about before, wanting to see more of. Hopefully we see it next year. Number 8, Turkish Grand Prix. Also, speaking of defense, mm-hmm. Perez's defense of Lewis. You could also put Abu Dhabi in this because he did the same thing in Abu Dhabi. That was in a wet environment, which was crazy. And I thought that made it a little bit more exciting than Abu Dhabi. What about you?
Honestly, I'm having a hard time going back and remembering these things play by play.
It's okay. I'll do the research for you. No big deal. Red Bull had the alternate livery.
Oh,
that
the
you
white loved. The white outfits. Loved the white outfits. Max looked real good in that.
Yeah, you like that one. I that car looks fucking clean. That's probably the cleanest car.
I liked it.
In my opinion. Yeah. So they were supposed to be in Japan. That got canceled due to COVID, of course. And so they rescheduled and had it in Turkey. I can't remember who won that race. Might have been Lewis, actually. But
you're asking the wrong chick. I actually forgot all of 2021.
Yeah, you're over it. You're over it. But yeah, that was the race where they had the alternate livery.
I think it's livery.
It is livery. You're right. Just you're totally
2022
right.
Pronounce things correctly.
So that was Perez, and he did that a few times this year. I thought he defended against Lewis the best. And again, you know, big reason, not a big reason, but a partial reason why Max won the championship. Number seven, Sochi, heart-wrenching. Like, I may have shed a tear. I know you did. Norris stays out on slicks. It starts raining in the last few laps. Lewis pits, chases him down, and to make matters worse, he spins out and doesn't even land on a podium. He was in position to get his first victory in F1. Rip your heart out of your chest. Indeed. Moment.
That was really sad.
Yeah, it was sad. I don't think there's much to say on that one. I do think, and I hope he gets that first one early in the season. I think we're all rooting for Norris. And again, we saw the impact with Max this year. Get a good woman in your life.
Yeah, but like Kelly's like a different kind of woman.
100%.
Okay.
You got to start somewhere though.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
Number six, Saudi Arabia. Max's final quali lap up nearly a half second going into the last turn, and he hits the wall. That one was, I guess we can call that tactical, although there must have been some emotion for you as a Max fan because he was flying on that lap. It was an important race.
Yep.
And I don't think anyone had touched that wall through practice or quali. So it was kind of a surprise to see him hit it there. But yeah, that one hurt.
It did.
That one hurt. That race was just, it wasn't a great race. We talked about it, but it was just a lot of shit in that race. So back to that one. All right. Top five. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Italy. Lewis squeezes Max into the sausage curbs, launches Max up on top of Lewis's car. They both hit the gravel pit. DNH. It's funny. I put DTH on our memo, which is decision to hire in the recruiting business.
Oh, it's like, what does business, that mean?
But sorry. But yeah, DNF did not finish. And then that was the race that McLaren went 1-2. You knew this was going to be our top five. It just matter where it landed. I think this was the picture that we had on our Instagram story page. For the record, whose fault was that crash?
I think it was Lewis's.
Of course.
Because I don't have any memories, so everything's his fault.
Those sausage curbs are deadly.
I'm thinking of sausage, like the food. I didn't know they were called sausage curbs. And you also spelled it K-E-R-B-S, but a curb is C-U-R-B-S.
Not in the UK. Oh, wait, hold on. What's the difference between a curb, C-U-R-B, and a curb, K-E-R-B? Curb is also the American spelling of the noun curb, K-E-R-B. There is no difference. Booyah.
Yeah, but like, okay, moot point. Moving on.
All right, so we stay in Italy for number four, which was subsequently the McLaren 1-2 finish. We all remember Ricciardo's win and how just Daniel Ricciardo, he went on video while in his car when he won. I thought that was super exciting. Only Daniel Ricciardo could pull that off. Your boy Norris, number two, which wasn't too bad.
Yeah, very exciting coming out of that race. And that is when, what's his face, got his tattoo after that race as well, right? Zach Brown, yes. He had to get his tattoo.
Well, I don't think he got it until like Austin though, right?
No. But that's he had to get his tattoo because of that 1-2 finish.
Yep.
And then after that, they just didn't do anything for the rest of the season. Like they stopped
literally
balls.
Just disappeared. Yeah. I think what Daniel, he also got to drive Earnhardt's car because of that as well. That was also part of the deal when he was in Austin, actually. Dale Earnhardt's number three car, which is legendary. NASCAR. So so yeah, that was number four. It was always good to see Shoeys. So anytime we get Shoeys, that's a good week. So add that to the mix. A lot of Shoeys going down, although Bottas wanted no part of that. Did he end up doing one? I don't think he did.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he was like, no, I'm good. Thanks, dog. All right, top three, here we go. We had two tied for top three, really, because we kind of judged them slightly differently. We had the Max Lewis battle in person at
I actually had this as my number two moment, but you downgraded it to number three. You didn't actually even have it on your list.
I didn't, no, but it was a good point. It was a good point. Because I was thinking like the race, to your point, very tactical. You were in your feelings. So you're right. You're right. So we had the Max Lewis battle in Austin. And then for me, speaking of tactically, when Lewis crashed into the back of Max in Saudi Arabia, I like short circuited, like I just like Lewis did in the car. Like I just was like, what is going on within F1 right now? And for me, not that I want to see that, or I think that's really good for the sport, but between those two, with everything going on this late in the season, it was just one of those things for me. So I had it in my top three. I'm very excited about that race next year. I hope they don't change anything. I just want to see if consistently that circuit's going to be that much of a disaster. Number two, Silverstone, Cops Corner. Lewis sends Max into the barriers at 51 Gs, proceeds to win the race and celebrate like nothing happened. That was your number two moment. I think I had that maybe at number one, but you know, we'll split hairs on that. That's also, just so everyone knows, I think people following know this now, but just in case you weren't sure, that's where Lewis totally lost Julie.
Yes, this is the turning point in my life.
Literally.
Yeah, never go back.
I was talking to a coworker today, and he was like, it's really funny, since Silverstone, how much Julie despises Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, it wasn't even the actual crash. It was the behavior that occurred out of Lewis's mouth and through his actions. That was it. It had nothing to do with the racing.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people felt that way. So had that crash happened just as it did, and
he was more humble, I don't think I would hate him as much.
Yeah, that wasn't a great look, but that's where Julie became a anti-Lewis Hamilton fan. Probably forever. Is there any way for him to get back in your heart?
No. I will say, I will always be a Max fan before a Lewis fan because of those events. However, I will lighten up on Lewis and my opinions of him if he changes his behavior and, like, you know, keeps it together a little bit more, because I'm not into cancel culture.
Will you give him a pass on what he says on the radio when driving real time?
No, I don't give anyone a pass on that shit.
The radio is the best. I know they're talking about maybe getting rid of the principal direct into the FI director radio, but I hope they keep that. All right, number one, don't think it's a huge surprise, although I had to think about it, but when you really consider the whole season, it's a no-brainer. Number one OMG moment for the Grid Gossip crew. Latifi brings out the safety car, which sets up the last lap of the season in which Max hunts down Lewis and wins his first driver's championship. No qualms about it. Sure. I hope we're in a position to have a last lap, you know, decider again. I don't know if we'll be that lucky, but one of a kind. And, you know, I think we'll be talking about this season and this rivalry for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint like one point in that race that was like the ultimate, because you do have the Latifi situation and then the like last lap race and all that, but definitely like top moment for sure.
Yeah, especially if you're a Max fan, no doubt. Honorable mention, it didn't make our top 10, but we both were like, ooh, where do we put this? Does it make top 10? Sergio landing a podium, almost.
That would be
second.
Like my top six. I only rated up to five, but that was going to be my top, my like sixth, because that was also heartwarming. That warmed my soul.
Yeah, no, I think I haven't spoken to anyone. I mean this too. I haven't spoken to a single person, fan, someone that's just getting in the sport, someone that's been a follower for a long time that doesn't like Sergio Perez.
Yeah, because he's just a stand-up guy. He's a good teammate. He races well. He defends well. and he's humble. He doesn't talk a lot of smack. Just like gets in the car and like does his job. And, like, sometimes he messes up, but like he doesn't make a stink about it. Just kind of moves on with his day.
It's really unbelievable that, and I understand why they did it, but it's ridiculous that the Pinks set him free as a free agent. And
he's got a better gig
no
now.
No one picked him up. And I get it. Like, people were in contracts, but I mean, he's one of the best five drivers, I think. So just an ultimate win for Max. So assist on the championship to the Pinks. I won't even call him Aston Martin, the Pinks. All right, so that's going to do it for us this week. Reminder, we are running a promotion on Instagram. We're giving away 5 of the OG Grid Gossip t-shirts. If we can hit 100 reviews on Apple Podcasts, just a star rating, don't need to write a review. But if you do, you multiply your chances by 10x. We will send those out the second we hit 100, wherever you live in the world. So check us out on Instagram at GridGossipF1. Check out our story. Super easy, super quick. So help us out. We really do appreciate it. We will see you guys in a few weeks. Peace.
Adios.